Sun Headlines.
Patriots getting ready for the visiting Tennessee Titans tomorrow night as the postseason begins for New England. Gillette Stadium, it's an 8:15 kick. That's the late game. The early game tomorrow as the Falcons visiting the NFC number one seed Philadelphia. Steelers will face the Jaguars on Sunday. Mike Tomlin sent Antonio Brown home today with an illness, but said he looked really good this week. So nothing to worry about there. Celtics over the Sixers, 114-103 in London yesterday. Jaylen Brown, you guys were behind 22 points in the first half. Again, behind early.
We got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to come against teams later on, and it's going to be hard to come back. You know, so we got to stop doing that, shooting ourselves in the foot. But it just shows our resiliency that we don't give up and we don't get wavered when we get down.
Green will get a couple of days off, fly home, and we'll take on the New Orleans Pelicans on Tuesday night.
Manny, look at these Pelicans playing. Come on, Pelicans!
Bruins finish their bye week with a visit to Montreal tomorrow night. Headlines are brought to you by Helping Hands of America. Help a local charity and donate your car, truck, or boat today. Call Helping Hands at 888-881-9090. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
We're talking to Matthew Slater.
Watch any playoff game where he has...
So do you want to win or do you want to develop...
That should have been a team that you could turn it loose against.
Tutcher and Rich, Zolak and Bertrand, Felger and Maz, Adam Jones. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
In the Ferrari and Jaguar, switching four lanes on top down, screaming out money in the thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing rings with the window.
This right here is how you bring Joe back to life.
I don't like it if it don't gleam, gleam in the hell with the price.
Did you get TJ to DJ yet? I hit Adam on Twitter. I hit him up. I told him. I didn't tell him about this one. I'll tell him about this one too. Hour number four on this Friday, and it's 1 o'clock on a Friday, a little after 1 p.m. Let's go to Vegas. Bring in RJ Bell from pregame.com.
Where money means
Twitter
stuff.
At RJ in Vegas. Pregame, as you know, the exclusive odds provider to the AP. RJ, what's up?
Hour number four.
Yeah, what do you think we do here?
Just four, 5 days a week, 4 hours a day, baby.
You know, people don't realize how tough of a life you guys have.
I know. I had to fill out my first time sheet this week.
This isn't Vegas, you know, where work is just kind of, you know, it's an option.
Just live on our winnings.
Right.
Well, listen, this is a really ultimate vacation or retirement destination. Right, you can't come here. You get your 2-for-1 buffet coupons. You're hanging out at the locals' casinos. Oh man,
I don't know that I could handle the heat in the summertime.
Well, you know, like that's what the casinos are for. It's always 72 degrees.
Yeah, I was in Vegas in late June once, and that was like enough for a week. But I don't know that I could do that for 10 weeks.
But here's the thing, because I grew up near Pittsburgh, so I know about
nice.
The weather.
Yeah,
right.
So yeah, you too. Yeah.
Is think about it. In the winter, it's cold in the day. It's cold at night. In the summer in Vegas, it's hot in the day, but it's not so bad at night. So it's only half of the 24 hours.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some football. Patriots favored by 13.5. Some places it's 14. Seems to be right around. It hasn't moved very much.
What do you think of the spot?
Has it moved at all, really?
No. 13.5, 14. And I think this is a situation where the wise guys, if they can get a 14, are going to lean that way. 13.5, I think the number's right. And remember, sometimes the number's just right, but you do not make a living betting against Bill Belichick. I've got it in the notes. This season, number two best against the spread record, Vegas record. Last two seasons, number one. Last 3 years, number two. Last 5 years, number two. And now all of these time periods, you guys are number one. Last 8 years, last 10 years, last 12 years, last 15 years, since Brady's first start on 9/30/2001, and since Belichick. In every one of those last ones, the best against the spread record in the NFL.
How about the Titans with a negative point differential
on the season?
I mean, has that ever happened? I mean, actually, you know what? I know it's happened because I saw something yesterday about the 06 Giants had a negative point differential. But it just seems like they're some sort of fraud team because of that.
No doubt. I mean, this is if you look at our Vegas rankings, and we rank the teams 1 to 32 every week, Tennessee's been a below-average team, a second-tier team, pretty much the last half of the season. There was some optimism earlier that, Mariota would surge this year. There'd be a step upwards. But really, it's been the opposite. He's one of only four quarterbacks with more interceptions than touchdowns. Kaiser from the Browns is on that list. You don't want to be on that list. Now, I will say this, though, is running quarterbacks do well in the NFL against anybody, really. I think Belichick's defenses are especially susceptible because they're so disciplined and so game plan based that when the plays break down, they're not as good in those kind of open field random situations. But no defenses are good against running quarterbacks. The theory, though, is running quarterbacks are not sustainable. They're not going to be able to do it for a full season. But once you get to the playoffs, the business decision, the cost benefit of running leans more towards running. And we've seen this with Russell Wilson. Quarterbacks that are willing to run and able in the playoffs can be effective. So if Tennessee covers this spread, one of the ways I figure is there's one or two broken plays and Mariota is able to get some big gains.
Yeah, number one seeds. Not too often do you host a home playoff game in a divisional round. You're an underdog, but that's the case in Philly. What do you make of the Falcons? I mean, we played sound from Dan Quinn today, and seems like, I don't want to say they figured some things out or the loss helped them last year, but
they're feeling good.
It looks like they're on a pretty good track here, RJ.
I tell you, it's all about narrative, though, right? So they win the game, now they figured something out, but they lose the game. I mean, if you look at the Falcons, they have been excellent when it comes to statistics the entire year. Their net yards per play, second best in the NFL in the regular season. Last week was the first week it seemed to come together. They got a couple of turnovers. I mean, they've had obviously other good games. They made the playoffs, but they had turnovers. They seemingly dominated that Rams team. But this team is as good as they were coming in the game. And to me now, they've just gotten very expensive. And that's why I think the Eagles are the best bet of the week. It's the only game I'm personally betting. What do you guys think the line would be if Wentz were in the game?
Oh, it's a great question. I'm guessing it would be
6.5 Philly.
I don't know if it would be that. I think it would be three going the other way.
Yeah. It's a 6-point.
I mean,
No. Oh, well, hold on. The Rams are favored by 6 against the Falcons, but the Eagles would be favored by 3 with Wentz.
I'd say 6.5,
that's
at
right.
Least at
It'd
home.
Be between 6 and 7 for sure.
That big.
All right, what
swing.
Are you asking us for? You set the line.
Yeah, that's what
are
you want for?
I
that's what
you here for. Trying to make us look dumb?
We just have
first off, it was a test. Let's start there. But I wanted to see if you saw what I saw, which is that they'd be clear favorites with Wentz, and now the adjustment is 10 points from, let's say, -7 to +3. I mean, the only quarterback in NFL history worth 10 points is Aaron Rodgers, and his backup Hundley is worse
right,
than
Right, but I'm going based on what it currently is, which is Falcons favored by 3. I'm saying the Eagles would be favored by 3. That's a 6-point swing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it would be more, because if we use the Rams game as a guideline, the Rams were favored by 6 against this Falcons
team. I thought that was a bad spread.
Well, I agree, but I think Eagles with Wentz are a better team than the Rams even. Right.
Yeah, so I don't disagree with that.
It would have been in the 6 or 7 range. This adjustment is absurd. John Kincaid, you guys colleague in Atlanta, asked me on Twitter. I know John. He said, what's the line on this game right after the Rams? I said, it's pick 'em. The fact this thing went to 3 is really a sign, I think, of the Falcons are everyone's fallen in love. And no one wants to bet Foles. And whenever it's hard to bet a team, that's when there's value. It's like buying a house no one else wants to buy. That's when you get value.
What's the history that is on the side of the Jacksonville Jaguars going into their matchup against the Steelers? Steelers favored by 7.5 going into this one.
Yeah, this is the trend of the week, I think, is if in the prior game between two teams, if one team wins by 20-plus points, the next time they meet, if it's a playoff game. So that's exactly what we have here. Jags and Pittsburgh played earlier. Jags won by 20-plus. Now they meet in the playoffs. The team that dominated the first matchup, Jacksonville in this case, is 14-2 straight up. Last 16 times that happened. So I get it, right? Oh, Pittsburgh's a lot better and all that. But to me, you got a Jacksonville team that can feel nothing but confidence coming in. And you might say, well, wait a minute. Now, Pittsburgh's going to learn from their mistake and try to run the ball because they passed too much last time. Okay, remember, that was week five. They traded for Marcell Dareus, Jacksonville did, midseason. In the second half of the year against the run, Jacksonville was the seventh best on a per-play basis against the run. So this is the best pass defense in the NFL and the seventh best run defense. I tell you, I think listen, I know Blake Bortles is no good, but check this out with Bortles. Last thing on this game is when he's got the lead in a game, his passer rating is 103. Or check that. When he has the lead, his passer rating is 103. When it's tied, it's 82. And if Jacksonville's trailing, it's 66 is his passer rating. So if you do like Jacksonville, I say look at the money line. You can get 3-1 because I think if Jacks can get a lead, they can ground this baby out. I actually lean Jacksonville.
All right, quickly, RJ, a Vikings-Saints final game of the weekend that we have not yet discussed. Vikings are a favorite in that one. Would you put your faith in Case Keenum?
That's a question, right? Because if Keenum is as good as he's been this season, then it's Minnesota. If Keenum's as good as his career, but he's just had a good, lucky year, then you've got to look at the Saints. To me, the fun stat of the week is, listen, Zimmer's a great coach. He's the only coach in the last 4 years that has a better ATS record than Belichick. He's 70% Zimmer against the spread since he became the Vikings coach. But the last time Zimmer was on a staff that won a playoff game was 1996. Ooh. It's been 20 complete seasons. His teams have made the playoff 10 times in those seasons, 0-10 straight up. I don't know if that's a fluke, but he certainly doesn't know how to win in the playoffs.
It's that Marvin Lewis curse, Cincinnati.
Well, that was part of it, but yeah, there's been many other.
Sure.
That was half of it. Then it was with the Cowboys, and then he's 0-1 himself.
Something about your heart, your gut, everything tells you the Saints in that game.
Yeah,
it's like they look good, they look fresh on offense, and Breeze looks healthy.
But remember, Minnesota has maybe the fourth best home field now in the NFL. That is a very tough place to play, especially with playoff intensity.
RJ Bell, pregame.com on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. Appreciate it as always, RJ.
Thank you, guys.
See you, RJ.
RJ Bell joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Good stuff.
Right now, it's John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute. He says the hype surrounding a potential UCF-Alabama matchup.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertrand.
See what you're trying to do.
We got a playoff game tomorrow. Big one. Here we go.
I guess.
Here we go, Hardy. Hey.
As soon as you are able, woman, I am willing to make the break that we are on the brink of. My cup is on the table, our love is spilling, waiting here for you to take and drink of.
Oh, feels so good, so good.
So if you're tired of the same old story, oh, turn some pages. Hey. I'll be
That just happened.
What did you do on the show today? We sang an REO Speedwagon song for about 4 minutes. And
playoff week.
Best day. Man,
that's our best one in a while.
Wow.
That's the best one in a while. That one felt good.
I feel like we freelanced a little bit there, too. That was good.
A little long.
Yeah, a little bit.
When you own the song, you take it.
Just another it octave. We made it ours.
Yes.
That's what we did.
It's all about the octaves.
Octagon.
Yep.
Good word there, though.
So. Yeah. Octave.
Pat's in the car. We'll go back to the phones. We got open lines.
What's up, buddy?
A couple more segments of this, Pat.
Wow, that was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Fired up.
Woo!
Hey, I got an interesting thought. You were talking about, like, all world or whatever.
Yes.
Minnesota possibly having home field advantage. In this lifetime, how do you possibly think we could see a Super Bowl, like, in another country? I'll hang up. Thanks for taking my call.
I wouldn't rule it out.
No, I wouldn't rule that out.
I would not rule that out.
I think we're very far from that. I know people were murmuring and talking about it down in Mexico. Mexico was not built for it. The stadium couldn't. I know it was an old Azteca stadium, is what it is, and it's a big soccer stadium, and it holds a lot of people. Security-wise, they couldn't do it. London's interesting because I think they can do it from a security standpoint.
Yeah,
there.
London's the obvious one.
London's best set up for it.
What about
the city's massive and there's tons of hotels.
If they had a better stadium or if they do build
a brand new stadium
in our future, how about Toronto?
I don't know.
I'm just saying. If you're trying to come up with international cities that would be able to do it and the NFL might feel comfortable doing it there.
Yeah. I hate the fact that
Minnesota's... If you wanted to put one in Canada.
I hate that Minnesota's getting one. I know we ripped Indy for it, but I thought the Indy experience was pretty neat. They lucked out with the weather. The city of New Orleans is built for it. Should be there every year. I'm sorry. You fly in, you land, you stay, you walk everywhere. Everything is there. You don't need a rental car. You don't need transportation. You are there. The city is built for it. It is a party. And it's party week. And, I mean, I struggle with Miami because it's so spread out. Arizona, stadiums in the middle of nowhere. I hate the feeling of those stadiums that are just built there because there's space for it. Even Santa Clara. You go out there at the end of the Niners' new stadium. Like, it's built there because it's next to amusement park because there's space there. It's not Candlestick. It's not downtown. It's not right there on the water. You can't see Alcatraz. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't seem like San Francisco because it's not. It's Santa Clara. That's why they call it Santa Clara.
Oh, it's a different name?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. It's in Santa Clara.
There's a clue.
Oh, you're 45.
As you're not really in San Francisco.
I see. You're 45 minutes from downtown.
Just like if you were to only go Foxborough because it's not Boston.
If you were just to go to Foxborough for a game, say, well, you know, this really doesn't look like Boston.
No, but
well,
to my point,
there's a reason why.
If you had the Super Bowl here, the problem is everything would have to take place downtown. Then you go out to the game.
You can't. This is not a good Super Bowl.
I think the league would love to have something somewhere else. I think that's ultimately what they would love to do is push the product.
Let us have a draft.
I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say you can't. But what is the major gripe when it is in places like you just talked about, whether it's Phoenix or whether it's in Houston? It's like, well, but the stadium is like all the way over there. You know, you can have some stuff downtown. You have a few things. Phoenix was really spread out. I mean, the parties are 20 miles that way, and you got to stay 20 miles outside of town, and the stadium's another 30 miles in the other direction.
You spend all your day in a car. Same thing with Houston.
If it were Boston, you could have, I don't know. I don't know where you'd have a seaport, I guess. Use the trade centers and the expo and stuff like that. But then the game is still way out.
Right. I don't know. Like MetLife Stadium in New York, they were one day away from having a snowstorm. Like, that snow hit the next day.
They missed by a day.
Missed by a day. And
it was actually warm.
Here are teams that are playing their asses off to get to the ultimate pinnacle, and to think you would have to deal with outside conditions to where temperatures could be in the teens.
I know that most people will never get to a Super Bowl, right?
Right.
As a fan. But if you're watching on TV, do you want to look at a half-filled stadium because there was a snowstorm? Or do you want there to be a full crowd there?
You want a full crowd.
You want a full crowd, even as a spectator at home.
Like, I would go with my dad. My dad and I, we did like 13 of them. And, like, I remember that Bills, the Dallas's first stadium where they played the Bills out in Pasadena. Like, that Rose Bowl setting. It's just, this is what the Super Bowl's about. You look up, there's palm trees, people are in golf shirts, shorts, and flip-flops. And you got a lanyard around your neck, and you're hanging out inside the stadium for 4 hours because you're there early on game day. And you just take it all in. And you can walk around, there's stuff to do. Like, that's a great setup for it. I don't know, like the Coliseum in L.A., but it's like, it's not a great area. You know, there were Super Bowls out there where the Rams play. And it's too big. I think that's too big. Like, now we got to schlep to Minnesota potentially in 2 weeks. But what are you going to do? You're in a Super Bowl.
Quickly talk to Joe in Boston on tomorrow's game. Joe.
Joey.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi. Can you hear me? Hey, it's your illegitimate internet son. What's up, Zoe?
Oh, dudes, what's up?
Not much. How you doing? I mean,
great.
Listen, I need to get your prediction on the game because I'm going to be so cross-eyed and lubed up from this thing. I'm not going to remember the thing.
Well, don't do that. I mean, you want to enjoy it a little bit.
I do. I want to try, but, you know, I'll give it up, crank, and all that stuff. You know the deal.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, I'll see what we do. You know, how are we going to get after him? How much Harrison is he going to play? What's Kyle Van Noy's health? All of that. Yeah. You know, Branch being back. You win, open a coin toss. Take the ball. Score first. Get out in front. Yeah, and I think they play the way they play differently on defense when they play with the lead. It gives you a chance to mix some things up and take chances. I like that.
I like to hear that. Well, hey, man, have a great call.
Thanks, pal.
I'll be talking to you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
All right, Joe.
My kid.
Your illegitimate internet kid?
That's what he calls me, the social media kid.
Yep.
I'm dad, he's kid.
Hmm.
Brody went like that. He wore his Brady shirt today. The kids have school day, Patriots Day at school today?
Yep.
Dress up, Pat's gear?
Yep.
What Calvin wear?
Not Patriots Day today. We saved that for the AFC Championship.
My kids have dress down day on February 2nd. Presumptuous.
Wow.
Super Bowl week.
You've already scheduled that,
huh? Hometown Harry.
Have to get the money. It's cost $2 for it. To see if send in $2 with it.
It's what they telling you to start saving?
Wait a minute. What?
What's the deal?
It's to send in the $2 so they can dress down, not wear their uniforms.
Oh.
They go to a parochial
special
school.
Huh?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Private school, wow.
Mm-hmm. Can't hide money?
Yeah. Wow. Glad the show's doing well.
Glad. Round number one. Hey.
Headlines with Hardy and more with Zolak and Bertrand, including fake promos at 150 next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Tom Brady talking about the task at hand tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium.
Well, I think we have a job to do, and we know what our job is, and that's, you know, to go out and play football at a high level and to play well, and you know, nothing really should get in the way of that. That's what we're getting paid for. So be a professional is to put everything aside and to go out there and do the best you can for the team, try to help us win.
8:15 kick tomorrow in Foxborough as the Patriots host the Tennessee Titans in the early game. It's Atlanta paying a visit to the number one seed in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 3-point underdogs at home in the game. Steelers play the Jaguars on Sunday. Mike Tomlin sent Antonio Brown home today with an illness, but said he looked good all week. Celtics over the Sixers, 114-103 in London yesterday. Fly home today, couple of days, rest up, get back at it Tuesday night at home against New Orleans. Bruins play the Canadiens in Montreal tomorrow night. Headlines are brought to you by AT&T, proud sponsor of the 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. AT&T, entertainment your way. I'm a Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak.
A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand.
98.5
The Sports Hub.
Fourth down and 5. Direct snap to Brady. Stands in the pocket. Fires. Intercepted at the 30-yard line. And taken down. And a fumble on the interception. And let's see who has it. Down at the Charger, 32. The Patriots have it.
Yes.
It was intercepted and then fumbled by San Diego. The Patriots recover the fumble at the Charger 31. That's a change of possession. First down, Patriots. 8 seconds to go. 54-yard field goal attempt coming for Kading. They snap the ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And the kick is no good. No good. And the Patriots will come out of San Diego with an upset win. Ho-ho!
You ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be.
Uh-huh.
It's about that time
for us to...
Yeah.
Yeah. What you know about going out? Head west, red legs, TVs, all up in the headrest. Try and live it up, rock jewel, pick a truck.
Lights out!
Up, it up. Stick a
lights
it
out!
Up. Jig with a cut, sip crisp, spit it up. Rock, get your nut, till I can't get it up. I'm a big man. Get
what a great time in music when Mace carried Diddy.
Mace carried Diddy?
Yeah, pretty much. When Diddy was looking down, there weren't two pairs of footprints in the sand. There was one. And it was Mace carrying him.
That was January of 2007, the 2006 AFC divisional round. Patriots visiting the Chargers.
It's Rishay Caldwell go route down the right sideline, right?
And that was the lights out game. That was the Patriots celebrating.
Gostkowski hit a big kick
on the lightning bolt. That was all that. That was a screaming down the hallway after the game.
Ellis Hobbs got into it with somebody, right? Yep. Rivers?
Philip Rivers. Yep. Why don't you have some class? And then remember, LT went off.
LT.
They got no class like their coach.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Schottenheimer's last game. He got popped after that, didn't he? Or the year after.
Tomlinson saying they showed no class, and maybe that comes from the head coach. Remember that? Taking a shot at Belichick, right?
Yeah, he got his revenge when he was with the Jets.
Oh, so good. He showed no class, and maybe that comes from the head coach. That's also, he also said, I'm a classy individual. That was his post
game. Yeah, I play the game of
Tomlinson.
Class. I like to play the game of class.
Right, right. Well, that's another Patriots win in the divisional round. They get another divisional matchup tomorrow, this time with the Titans. Chris in the truck wants to talk about Tennessee quarterback Marcus Mariota. Chris.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, good evening.
Enough of the pleasantries. It's pretty simple. Shut down the quarterback. Don't let him get out of the pocket. On third down, get him off the field. And the Patriots are just going to punch him in the mouth. Run the clock. And we're good. Other than that, the Coors Lights are already in the fridge. Amendola may have the big game because he's the guy you're not expecting. Gronk will get covered and get a touchdown. 34-17. We'll see you next week.
Okay, there it is. 34.
Sounds like a pretty good 17. Recipe to win.
Yeah. Contain the quarterback.
Shut him down. Get off the field on third.
Force him to make throws. Yep. Get off on
punch
third
him in the
down.
Mouth.
Getting off on third down easier said than done. Frank in New Hampshire on. Oh, there you go. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, what's up? So,
hi. You know, hi, Frankie.
Great song.
Huh.
So
I agree.
The big thing would be Alan Branch coming back. We haven't been there. We can shut down Henry, make Mariota throw the football 41-17.
41-17. We got another prediction right there.
Call's got really, really good since Lorraine.
Frank's
called.
Got another one. And who do we blame for that?
What, having Lorraine? I love Lorraine.
And nothing to do with Lorraine. Tom in Wakefield. Tom.
Tommy.
Yes, I'm just calling about the past and all this news that goes on every single year.
Yeah.
And how just Brady and Belichick and Kraft just take all this news and turn into a Super Bowl ring every single year. I'm not too worried about what's going on with Titans and Steelers. I'm really not worried about it. Just give me to February 2nd in Minnesota.
That's
and we'll see what we got.
Do you want to not take any more calls?
No, I want to take Albert in Rhode Island. You just called in.
Oh. Albert.
Oh, boy. Let's do it, Albert.
This is great. I haven't even waited 10 seconds.
No, top those three.
Because I know you typically have a good phone, you typically have a point, and I enjoy the back and forth, Albert, so let's have it.
Very good, very good. Well, listen, you know, that rerun you just played of that old Chargers game, by the way, I remember that was a tremendous game. That was a strong Chargers team in the divisional round. The game you probably
sure was.
You really were probably overmatched on the field. Talent-wise, you're probably overmatched, but obviously Belichick versus Schottenheimer, that's a mismatch of epic proportions.
Well, you know what?
Now,
hold on, Albert.
Here's something interesting. Just if we could go back to this game for a minute, Albert, because you're talking about overmatched. I was looking at this. The Patriots going into that game, trying to see. Oh, you know what? It's a different year. I had this wrong. I thought the Patriots were favored. Big
that was
in that
a 14-2 charge. If
right.
I remember correctly,
they were the number one overall seed, Albert.
Was,
and that was
Philip. Yep.
When we go back and look at Brady's career, and I still think that 06 year he did more with less. Than any other year.
Did.
That was one of, I think that may be his best year.
That wasn't really a strong team. And the Chargers were loaded on both sides of the ball. But to my point, it showed, and I remember the following year too, when you guys had that power team. The Chargers were very good that year. They came in New England and lost. The Colts were also very good. They were upset. But the quality of the divisional round is the point of my call. Look at where, I mean, that was, say, 10 years ago.
Perfect
Look
example,
at the
yeah.
Teams. And now I mean, and I'm not trying to poke fun. I'm not trying to bust balls, but the Texans last year, the Titans this year, Tim Tebow in 2000 and what was that, 11 or 12?
2011, yep.
Like, the league is going, and I know I sound like a broken record, but every time it brings me back to it, I feel the need to say it, especially you guys, your football guys. We have a problem. Lack of, I know Patriots fans, you want to smoke everybody, beat everybody. It must be a good feeling. But it's a problem when you're in the, they're the way out to the final eight here. The final eight, the best football teams in the world, and Marcus Mariota and Mike Malarkey are your competition. That game's going to be over before the kickoff.
That's
they're
sad.
On the field, it's over. Unless you screw up everything, the game is over. That's not good. This is not good.
It's good for the Patriots, Albert. It's bad for the league.
Yeah, people ask me too. You're like, what does it have to take tomorrow night for Tennessee to win? I said, have the same kind of start that New England did last year against Houston, but actually play worse. And I don't think that's going to happen.
No, he's right. I mean, just look at that San Diego game. I looked it up. The spread, by the way, was Chargers -5. Chargers were a 5-point favorite going into that game.
The Patriots end up choking on a 18-point lead at halftime against the Colts in the AFC Championship game that was at Indy that next week. Should have been to the Super Bowl that year with Rishea Caldwell and company as your receivers.
Horrible, horrible collapse.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Who was the receiver opposite Caldwell?
Here's what I was looking at. The Patriots are obviously 13.5 or 14-point favorites going into this game on Saturday. In the 21st century, there have been 7 NFL games in the postseason with point spreads of 12 or more. And all 7 of those games were games involving the Patriots. Only one of the games had the opponent favored. That would be the St. Louis Rams in the Super Bowl, 14. Super Bowl 36. They were favored by 13. The other games after that all involved 12 or more points. Patriots favored. 2008, 13.5 against the Jaguars, 14 against the Chargers. Also going in, and this is really the 07 season, Patriots favored by 12.5 against the Giants in the Super Bowl, which they lost. 2011 season, Patriots were 13.5-point favorites going into that Tebow game. They won 45-10. They were favored by 16 against the Texans last year. They won 34-16. And now they're favored by 13.5 against the Titans going into this weekend. So that is it. 7 games ever. All of them involving the Patriots. Today's takeaways are coming up next with fake promos.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
Oh, damn it, I sat in the wrong chair. Felger's going to have to give me a moment. Sorry. I'm distracted.
They can play the open to their show from yesterday.
They should.
While they get wiped out.
They should do that.
Yeah. Get a nice little respite.
Anyway. All right.
What's your takeaway?
We don't really have takeaways today. It's a Friday, though.
Fake promo Friday,
Scott. No, but
Friday,
before we do that,
you know what?
Hold on.
We have show-on-show crime in this building.
We do?
Yeah.
What, you and Rich Shirtley?
No.
All the shots you've taken out of today?
No, love Rich. You know how we do these fake promos?
Yeah.
Jones and Cattles are now using our sound and their imaging to have their own sort
They're
of
trying
fake,
to do
promos.
Fake promos.
They're trying to do fake promos.
We're not going to play it, though. It's too confusing.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it's you guys talking. It's...
Right.
Oh. All right. I just wanted to say that this weekend, we, of course, have you covered, getting ready for the game tomorrow night.
Sure do.
Yeah. We'll be on at 5 p.m. from CBS Scene. Nice. Zoe, be ready.
I'll be ready.
We'll be talking to Zoe during pregame like we always do.
Live call.
5 o'clock starts pregame coverage, and then Zoe and Bob will have the call of the game.
The only live local call of the game.
8:15.
Yes, sir.
Live, the local call, the people that know what they're talking about when it comes to the Patriots.
Bring it tomorrow, people. Bring it.
Right here on the Sports Hub, okay? So this is where you want to be all day tomorrow getting ready for the game. Okay, good. We covered that. Good.
Got a lot of fake promos to get to. Let's go.
Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Absolutely. Oh, it's great. Even harder to get in now.
Oh, I know.
It's hard. It's not easy to get in there.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Talking about Harvard? Yale,
Yeah.
Ivy League school?
I can't respond because if I... No, right. I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
The tip is the most important part.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I voted against that.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Moving on.
Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Oh, Domino. Yeah. I dig it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thought that was fabulous. Van Morrison would be proud.
I'm sorry, it's not my favorite Van Morrison, though.
No, but it's not bad.
Fan of
Domino.
Moondance.
No, it's all right.
Moondance.
I like
Moondance. Into the Mystic.
Yeah. He's notorious for playing short shows, Van Morrison.
Oh, and doing the melody is a way you've never heard them before.
Because he's what, drunk? I mean,
no,
what?
He's a song stylist. Yeah, it's kind of like the
short,
you know what? And
shows,
Adam Duritz, Counting Crows, same thing. You go to see a Counting Crows, he will sing a song. It's like, is he singing Mr. Jones?
Counting Crows?
Because it doesn't sound anything like
really?
Mr. Jones.
You just went from Van Morrison to Counting Crows?
I know what he's talking about, though, the point he's making.
He said Dylan, I said Adam Duritz. We're all making comparisons to people who change their songs lives.
Springsteen does it, too. It's annoying.
No, that's just because you didn't know the song.
Yeah, it sucks.
Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
But it had nothing to do with the football. It was like they're trying to get rid of tomato cans.
It does now. Now everybody wants to get
so
their picture taken.
So you could buy
the sauce.
The tomato cans.
Yeah.
They were
the
large.
Marinara.
They were large.
Not a binding.
These are big cans.
See, you put too much about the sauce. Should have just been Shaughnessy saying those were big cans.
Well, if you would like to go in there and we can add
I'm not allowed in there.
A fourth contributor to the fake
promos.
I'm
not allowed. You guys don't allow me in the room.
That's fine. I'm not allowed in there most of the time. What? They invite me in for fake promo Friday consultation. What? That's it. I'm only a consultant.
All right, let's go.
Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Big cans.
There it is. All right. Good work.
Sports
Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
Quickest
That's all I was looking for.
Quickest turnaround.
Shaughnessy saying big cans.
In show history. That was brilliant. Thank you.
Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
LeVar Ball came out with those shoes. What did we do?
We laughed.
Thank you. We laughed at him and said, this guy's a clown.
Someone tries to sell me a $30 bag of nuts. I laugh at that, too.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just again, how much would you pay for the bag of
just
nuts?
Just the phrase, Bob. Bag of nuts, and Zolak was lost for 12 minutes.
Minimum 12 minutes. Still talking about it 2 days later.
Bag of nuts.
Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Last time, I know as the game was going on.
It's the middle of January. Well, no I mean, sorry. sorry.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That was today.
It was great.
Why should we be worried about the weather?
What are we going to do? It's the middle of January. Nope. It's cold outside.
I thought we handled the weather better than anybody, right?
Yeah. Well, Tom Brady's from California.
Right.
He's soft.
Right.
You know?
Midday's at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Yeah, it was driving me crazy, the clap. All night.
Wow. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I can't imagine that's a comfortable experience.
Wow.
Having that.
When did that happen?
You were talking about the national championship game and all the clapping they do in college. At
oh,
the
yeah,
line
clap.
Of scrimmage.
The snap.
Oh, bothered me
so
all night.
Annoying.
It really burned me.
God. Nobody.
Like, how do defensive players not tee off on that?
Not
like,
one
when
end
he claps,
guy.
Right. I'm gonna go.
Right. As soon as he points down, they clap.
Yeah, boom, clap I'm like going, I'm going. Baby. You're I'm gonna jump.
This
is a snap
no neutral
here.
Zone. Like wow.
Like, final fake promo of the week. Here we go.
Thank you. Midday's at 10. Zolak and Bertrand.
And I can't believe that they still call it an interception. Did you guys see that? What is your comment on that?
Wait. Their baby there.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So it got real quiet. Is your baby there?
I wanted to hear more of like what the baby was saying.
he was real quiet.
Whoa. Check me out that again.
Is there a baby there?
That was a good one. Wait.
Is there a baby there?
Nice work, so.
It's a hell of a group of shows
hey,
this week, guys.
Yeah, we'd like to apologize to our listeners. We will not continue at 2 o'clock like we did yesterday.
Yes, unfortunate.
We jam-packed with a ton of interviews, play-by-play guys, the quarterback. Just like a typical Felger and Mash show.
Right.
Hey, serious, bring it tomorrow. Great coverage all day long. Listen to Sports Hub, Felger, and Mass next. Beatles got the pregame starting at 5 at CBS.
5 p.m., my friends.
Bob associated myself with the call. 8:15, let's go.
And until then, have a great weekend, and have a great weekend overall.